And good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day in downtown Pittsburgh. Once again, the same weather as last week, which means it's hot for football. But nobody's hotter than the Pitt Panthers right now. They're 3-0, looking to make it 4-0 in the non-conference schedule for the first time in their program history. Youngstown State will be in town, and they're coming off a loss to Duquesne, although congrats to Duquesne for that win, but Youngstown State held the ball for a lot of that game. Duquesne, I think, only had 17 minutes of possession time. Youngstown State averages 37 minutes of possession time a game, and that's what we're going to try to do today to the Pitt Panthers, who are coming up resounding back-to-back wins, both comeback varieties, both incredible in their own way. Down by 21 to Cincinnati late third quarter in Cincinnati. They came back and won that game 28-27. And then last week, West Virginia comes to town, had a 10-point lead with under 4 minutes left in regulation. And what does Pitt do? They go on two game-winning drives led by Eli Holstein. A lot of action there, a lot of atmosphere. And then on top of that, the volleyball team a couple of days later takes on Penn State in a big rivalry game and just basically dominated them. Okay, that was a lot of feedback. Is that okay now? All right, we're back on track. When you get feedback on a live, you really scare people. Two guys sitting over here looking at their phones immediately looked up, and they're so engrossed in their phones, I'm waiting to see if they will look up again, but they're not. Anyway, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. That is the number here for our program. I want to remind you, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show is proudly sponsored by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And tomorrow night we have the Number One Cochrane Sports Showdown over on KDK-TV. That's always going to be interesting, especially after Steeler games. And that's where we're going to begin today, with news coming out of Adam Schefter, Jerry Dulac here locally, that Troy Faltano, who got banged up in practice yesterday, is going to be out indefinitely. So that means Broderick Jones will have the responsibility of right tackle, coming off a game in which he was benched last week in Denver for committing three penalties in a six-play span. So Faltano, hopefully this is not longer than it, you know, needs to be, but again, when you tweak the same injury he had, and the word is indefinite means a long period of time. And so Broderick Jones will be the man at right tackle tomorrow, with Dan Moore still at left tackle, and Dan Moore got banged up last week as well, although he will be able to play. And for tomorrow, the Chargers, they're looking to go 3-0 for the first time since 2002 under new head coach Jim Harbaugh, and Justin Herbert is a big question mark for them. His ankle, which was sprained last week, it looks like a mild high ankle sprain, but there's pain associated with that. So he's practiced, you know, this week, but limited basis. He is questionable, and that's a big part of their offense, of course, although not as big as in previous years because they have run the ball, and that's what Harbaugh believes in. He's old school, just like Mike Tomlin believes, running the football, playing good defense, and that's exactly what they've done. Both of these teams are almost mirrors of one another. Time of possession, check mark both teams. Defensive efforts, check mark both teams. Two of the best in the game so far, and two games at stopping the opposition. And they run the ball. J.K. Dobbins, I'm sure all Steeler fans remember him from his Baltimore days. He's now there and coming off a season in which he had a ton of injuries. In fact, his whole career has been marred by injury. Only played in, I think it was 9 of the 42 games over the last 2 years. Two and a half years, whatever it was, because he had an Achilles injury, had a knee injury. He never got the kind of traction he needed. Very talented guy, and now he is healthy, and so far this year has 266 yards to lead the NFL. The last Charger to lead the NFL in rushing was LaDainian Tomlinson, so that's going to be the effort for the Steelers tomorrow, to stop him and force them into a pass game, which normally you would say, well, that's an advantage for the Chargers, and it is if you have a healthy Justin Herbert. If not, it could be Easton Stick as your backup quarterback, and he hasn't played a lot, although he's been with this program since 2019. He came from North Dakota State, where they won 4 FCF national championships. So he has some winning in his background, but he hasn't played, and certainly not at the same level of Justin Herbert. So it looks like Justin Fields on the other side will be the quarterback for the Steelers, as Russell Wilson continues to take care of his calf. So you got a couple of Justins, and you also have offensive lines. One is a question mark for the Steelers now that Broderick Jones has got to play right tackle for the entire game. And if you look at what the Chargers have done, they have beefed up three of their last four number one picks have been offensive linemen and tackles, and they got a couple of good ones going on this week. The one that I think is really interested to see is Ault, their fifth overall pick, because he's going to be matched up against T.J. Watt, and it's not an easy assignment, although he's already had Max Crosby that he had to deal with, and he was outstanding in that game as he limited Crosby to zero pressures in that game when they beat the Raiders. So that's going to be one of the keys to look at. But I'd like to know what you have to think about this matchup. Can the Steelers go 3-0? Last time they did that was 2020. Tomorrow right here at 1 o'clock. It's 412-928-9370. Again, thank you to number one Cochran, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House, and Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, our sponsors here as we do this program. So call me and let's talk about that. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp. That's the one thing to get into. The news this week, really, that I was most stunned with was Shohei Ohtani and things that he has done that I don't think we'll ever see again. Everyone knew that he wasn't going to be able to pitch this year, but that didn't stop the Dodgers from giving him $700 million. And at the time, people were saying, how much money is too much money, and why would you give that much? Well, the guy, when he pitches, he's as good as it gets, and he's not pitching this year, although there are rumors he could pitch in the playoffs, which I think would be a rush and not necessary. But the other night in Miami, he did something that we have never seen in one single game, and that's a 6-for-6 performance. I think Pittsburgh fans here, Pirate fans, remember Rennie Stennett back against the Cubs when they won 22-0. He went 7-for-7. That was great in its own right. But he didn't have this kind of numbers. 6-for-6, 3 home runs, 5 extra base hits, 2 stolen bases, all in one game with 10 runs batted in. Shohei Ohtani became the first and only member of the 50-50 club. Now, to put that in perspective, last night O'Neill Cruz joined the 2020 club, which is impressive. 2020, 20 stolen bases, 20 home runs. And yet he's 30-30 away from what Shohei Ohtani has done and what an amazing player he is. And quite hands-down fashion, he's going to be the MVP of the league, and there should be no competition there. The other thing that is going to be an interesting competition is what the Pirates will have with Paul Skeens in terms of Rookie of the Year, because that becomes a two-horse race now. It is Skeens, who's really picked up his game now, 10-2, and he has 7 no decisions, which could have been wins. I mean, he's not gotten the run support that he needed at certain times. So that's on the Pirates. He's 10-3, but a really good ERA of 2.07. Versus Jackson Merrill, the center fielder with the Padres. He is the betting odds that he's going to win it. And if any other season was available, he would be hands-down winner. But with Skeens here, you know, he's doing historic stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But right now, Jackson Merrill is the odds-on favorite to win that one. Pirates lost again last night. They're in last place. They're 10 games under 500. Going to be challenged to get to where they were last year, which leads to a lot of off-the-field decisions to be made. We're not going to get into that because we've talked about it over and over. If you want to, fine. Call 412-928-9370. But I think that's one of those things that we'll hear quickly whether or not they're going to just retain everyone in their management staff or not. A lot of people believe they shouldn't, but we'll see how that goes. 412-928-9370. The other thing I want to talk about is the Pitt volleyball team. Since we're here talking about Pitt football, you can't not talk about what they've been accomplishing here. They're 8-0. They beat East Carolina last night. If those of you who are not interested in volleyball, you should be. Give it a watch, because I think you'd be interested to see the teamwork that they display. Dan Fisher's group is really, really good. And they're in a situation where right now they haven't lost one set all year. That's 24 straight sets they've won, 8-0. And they're number one in the country. They've never been number one. They've been to the 3 Final Fours. They've been a really good team, a team on the rise, but never to this level. So if you get a chance, go out and watch them, whether it's the Peterson Event Center like it was the other night against Penn State, where it was reminiscent of what Pitt basketball was when they were in the Big East Conference. That's how exciting it was. That's how, you know, filled of atmosphere it was. It was just a great night for them, and they rose to the occasion and knocked down Penn State, which is a really good volleyball program. All right, let's get to the lines here at 412-928-9370, beginning with Bill in Uniontown. Bill, what's going on this beautiful Saturday?
Yes, do you think the Steelers can beat the L.A. Chargers like Sunday afternoon?
Well, they're favored, although I don't know what this injury to Broderick Jones now does. Or, I'm sorry, to Troy Fautano that forces Broderick Jones to play. So I think Honestly, this is an evenly matched game. It's going to come down to what it always comes down to. Who makes the fewest mistakes? The Steelers are really good at limiting that so far. Justin Fields has not done, really anything in terms of turning the ball over at any part of this game, although there have been some center snaps exchange problems. But I think this is going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be low scoring. If I had to give you one advice, Bill, it would be bet the under. I think even though it's a low over and under total, I don't see a lot of points. Thanks for the call. And if you're wondering about how the field goal has taken over NFL football, this past week, 73 field goals. After week one was 68 field goals. It's the most two-week span of field goals we've ever seen in the National Football League. And most of these kickers are getting better and better and better. So far this year, when kicks are attempted from 50 yards or more, 89% have been good. And that includes Justin Tucker missing two, and he's normally very reliable. So in the problem is teams are relying on that with field position. If they get in range, you know, why not turn it over to Chris Boswell? The problem is you get a little too conservative, and I think sometimes that doesn't work in your advantage. You still got to score touchdowns eventually, and the Steelers have more wins than they do touchdowns. That's not a good thing, I don't think. Wins are important, but you got to score more touchdowns, and they simply have not done that. Bert in Ross Traver is up right here, right now. What's up, Bert? How are you?
Hi, Bob. Thanks. I'm thinking Steelers again, and it occurs to me that they should get Justin Fields a quarterback coach. I think they really missed the boat with Cordell Stewart.
They have one. His name is Tom Arth, and he's a good – in fact, Tom Arth was Justin Herbert's quarterback coach the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not know they had one. That's good. I think, you know, with Ben, they got Kenny Anderson for Ben, and he really polished up his game. If Fields can polish up his game the way Ben was able to, they should get a lot out of him. And hopefully it'll work out. You know, I think he can turn into a good pocket passer if he can develop into it. You know, if they can develop him.
Well, I think he has a great arm, right, Bert? I mean, we've seen that on display last week. I thought one of the better passes you'd ever see, 51 yards, laser right in the breadbasket to Pickens, which was, you know, called back by penalty. But still, he can do that. The thing with him is making sure he goes through the progressions, make sure he goes to the right reads. And just don't turn the ball over through the air. I mean, he can also turn just negative plays when you're third and long. He's a guy who can get those necessary yards. I think Mike Tomlin really likes him. I think the organization does too. So if things continue to go his way, I don't know even if he's healthy, if Russell Wilson gets a chance to play, although I'd like to see Russell Wilson with this offense and what he can do in it.
Well, I think he can probably help Justin develop. You know, he works the pocket really well for a guy who's only 5'10". And that's a real talent. If he can help Fields with his footwork and the rest of it in the pocket, he could really come. I mean, he has a lot of physical talent. He really reminds me of Cordell that way with the arm and the legs, you know.
Yeah, no question about it. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call, Bert. 412-928-9370. Justin Fields so far is doing a pretty good job. 94 quarterback rating. One touchdown pass. Actually could have had two. One was called back by penalty last week. If you remember the pick call on Von Jefferson, I thought that was a bad call. I didn't like that call. I thought that was a touchdown, so he should have had two last week, only one in the books. And if you look at George Pickens' line last week, it didn't look all that impressive. Two catches for 29 yards. However, he had two pass interference calls against Patrick Surtain, which would have been catches. And he also had two others, a touchdown and a 51-yarder call back by penalty. He could have had six catches for 111 yards. That's how good it was last week, so don't be deceived by that number. Let's go out to New Jersey. We got Ryan joining us here. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Good morning. A couple of quick hitters. Not that it's a win by the Pitt volleyball team. Penn State's not a good program. It's been a consistent powerhouse for like 30 years, like Russ Rhodes. Men's and women's. If you watch the Olympics this summer, there were, I think, three men and four women from Penn State on the team. So that Pitt is, they're on another level if they can shut them down that way. That's a very impressive thing. So people should pay attention. I know volleyball's not a big driver, but they should pay attention to that. And I had a question. I mean, I call you because the Puckheads are back tonight or whatever, they're back in camp. And I actually think they're not going to be good. They're not going to be great. But I think they might overachieve a little as far as they've underachieved the last 3-4 years. Only because, you know, a different mix of personnel in there. Their main problem is that as long as Christian Jarry's on the team, they're not going anywhere. So if I'm Dubas, I have a voodoo doll hoping that every starting goalie in the league blows their ACL and somebody needs to get Jarry off the team because that experiment's over. it's just not going to work. He, there's no confidence there, and he just doesn't have the mindset. So, I mean, go ahead.
I want to talk about your first point about overachieving. I think the Penguins can do that, and it's funny to talk about a team that has so many Hall of Fame-worthy guys on it as underachievers. But, you know, they're older. It's harder to play that way. But I think Dubas has done a pretty good job this year bringing in some people who really need a new beginning. You know, guys who have been with other teams like Anthony Beauvillier. Is he capable of turning into what I think people first, when they saw him in New York with the Islanders, what he was going to be like? So they have people there. But you're right. The key is two keys. Jarry is one. He has to be better. Let's assume they don't trade him. He has to be better. He has to be the kind of goalie that we've seen in spurts where he's been all-star kind of goalie. But number two, and more importantly, if this power play is what it's supposed to be, then they would have made the playoffs last year. They came that close. They can't let it get down to the last game of the year again. Their power play has to be much improved, and we'll see what they do. They brought in David Quinn to help Mike Sullivan. They have the talent to be very good, and they should be very good. That and overtime losses. They don't seem to have a consistent strategy in overtime.
Well, I think the problem with the power play and the overtime is they don't have any triggers. There are no scorers on this team. There really isn't. I mean, they traded Gensel because, to be fair, in retrospect, that looks like a great move because Gensel getting 9.5 at Arizona Campos is insane. He was a smart player. He was a good player. Never worth that much. So that was a smart move to let him go. I know people called and complained, but you can't keep everybody. But they just don't have the scoring talent. I mean, they've got these, Hall of Famers. Well, they're Hall of Famers because they've been around for 18 years, So this is, they need somebody to put the biscuit in the basket. I think as far as back to Jarry goes, I think we're a definition of insanity here. Is he going to click it on, turn it on after 4, 5, 6 years? I don't know. I mean, you hope for the best, but who knows?
Maybe the Blomqvist will bloom this year. Maybe he gets opportunity. He's a young kid. They really like him. They brought in some other guys, but it starts with Jarry. They're just not going to ignore him, of course. He's going to play. Because they paid him, and he needs to play at that level. So we'll see how that goes. Ryan, thanks very much for that. Appreciate the call. That's right. Hockey season actually begins tonight in terms of games. The Penguins are in Buffalo. They play a home-and-home with Buffalo. We'll see what this brand of hockey looks like. But big starts are important. Power play has to be better. They have too much talent for it not to be. And if they do that, they should be a team in the East. But the East is loaded with a lot of good teams. All right, 412-928-9370. Let's try Greg in Youngstown. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Hey, folks. How's it going?
All right. What's up, man?
Hey, I want to talk about the Pirates. This is probably my last Pirate call of the year. But two things. End of the season, I think Shelton and that GM should both be fired on the spot. Last game of the season, after the game, both gone. And let me talk about schemes for 1 second. You can't tell me that Major League Baseball is happy that the Pirates have this guy because he is a superstar, not a star, but a superstar. So in the next season, coming in the next season, I would have doubted if MLB calls Nutty and says, look, we got a superstar on your team. We got to promote this guy. We got to get him in the spotlight. You got to do something to your team. I guarantee MLB calls Nutty this year because they can't. They have a superstar. They're not even on TV. They don't even showcase this guy.
Well, I think they will be in the future, knowing what he's put up this year. And some of those schedules are made in advance, too, so you have to remember that. With a guy like Skeens and, quite frankly, Jones and Bubba Chandler and anyone else they bring along, they actually, believe it or not, Martin or Greg, they have a chance to be a really good team next year if they make some moves here. They can't do what they've done in the past.
What moves? Tell me what moves. They don't got a first baseman.
Okay, Reese Hoskins was a move they should have made. They didn't make it. Milwaukee made it, and now Milwaukee will bring him back for another year. Milwaukee spends more money than Pittsburgh despite being a smaller market than Pittsburgh. And they spend it prudently. They get results from their money spent. The Pirates simply do not. They spent $33 million this year on like 9 players, and what have they gotten for it? Nothing. And that's the problem. You can't nickel and dime these things. You got to find people who actually have a history and pay that history. And if they do that, they obviously have to. There are other issues to worry about here, but they have the nucleus of a team that can actually, it should be anyway, better than what it shows.
I watched last night's game. Okay, I've never seen this from Brian Reynolds. He struck out, took his helmet, and bashed it against the ground. I guarantee this, that Reynolds and his in his 80s, is going to go to Nottingham, because Reynolds is, what, 30 years old now, 29, 30? I don't know what he is now. He's going to go to Nottingham. They're going to go, look, are you committed to win, or do you want to be traded? You know this is going to happen. These guys do not want to play for losers. They want to make the playoffs. They want to make World Series. Why would this guy want to stay in their team?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think his anger is more directed at himself, because there are things he does sometimes that bother him. I've talked to him about that. But your point's well taken. There comes a time when they got to, you know, and it starts with Bob Nutting. If these two are retained, then he has to go to him and say, this is it. If you don't make the playoffs, you're both done. Some people would like you to happen now, and I can see that possibly happening as well. But anyway, up against the bait.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Appreciate that and your passion. 412-928-9370. Martin and PC, hang on. We're going to get to you next. We're live on Art Rooney Avenue, getting set for Pitt and Youngstown State. Our pregame begins at 12:30 when Doran Dickerson joins me here. We'll talk about Pitt potentially getting to 4-0 as they head into ACC play. But in the meantime, we're talking about the Steelers. Troy Fautanu's injury. What does it mean? How will it impact Broderick Jones and other stuff as well? All right here live on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. All right, it's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Once again, a Saturday and a big game for Pitt, trying to make some history here as they take on Youngstown State. And they've had some tough games against the Penguins over the years. Back in 2015, it was a high-scoring affair, 45-37. So even though Pat Narduzzi has beaten this team, and it hasn't been easy, that was a high-scoring 8-point difference. And then it was an overtime game in 2017. So they have the ability of playing up. And they're one of the better teams, of course, in FCS football. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Martin in Uniontown has been on the line for a while. Martin, what's going on? How are you?
I'm fine, Bob. Hey, Bob. I'll tell you what. I look for the Steelers tomorrow to really, I don't know if they're going to break out of it, but I think they should be okay. But here's the way I see it. They just got to play mistake-free football and just don't turn the ball over.
Well, that's what they've been doing, and it's worked so far on the road against, I thought, an Atlanta team that was not ready for business with Kirk Cousins. He needed a week, and you saw him better at Philadelphia on Monday Night Football when the Atlanta Falcons beat that game in Philadelphia. Man, that was a tough loss for them. So they come away with a win there. And then the second week, Denver's just not ready for. Bo Nix is still too raw. He has 0 touchdowns and 4 picks so far this season. But to your point, they protected the football. And because they've done that, and because they've played good defense, they have more wins than they do touchdowns. 2 wins, 1 touchdown, which has got to change. But it's interesting because, Martin, the Steelers are the only 2-0 team averaging fewer than 24 points a game. They average 15.5. That's 26th in the NFL. The other 6 teams averaging that total, 16 points or less, are combined 1-11. So the Steelers... Their recipe has just been that. Just don't turn the ball over. We'll take field goals when we could do it. Give our defense a chance to be fresh at the end of the game by possessing the ball on offense, and they've done that. This will be a different story tomorrow because the Chargers come here with a team that can do the same to them.
Yeah. Okay, now the Pirates real quick. I don't know where Bob Nutting's head is, but he got to start realizing, you know, if they don't start – putting a good team on the field, you know, fans aren't going to want to hear about a rebuilding plan anymore.
No more 5-year rebuilding. People are fed up with those. They're not going to tolerate it. So I think it's upon them to do something here and make a splash. And I think it starts with him and a willingness to allow, if Ben Charrington's been limited with what he can spend, then that has to change. Because this year they're going to have to go out and legitimately get some bats that can help a young pitching staff that I think has a lot of talent. And quite frankly, they're also operating on a time limit with Paul Skeens. Because regardless of what he does, they'll never be able to afford him at the rate of pay that some of these guys are getting. And it starts with Shohei Ohtani. I know he's a two kind of sport guy. Which, by the way, Martin, would be interesting to see Paul Skeens bat. I'd love to see him bat. I think, I don't know, you know, he said... Once when he first came up, he likes to hit the ball. He likes to bat. He was good in college. I'd love to see him have an opportunity. I don't know if that ever would happen. Not that he could become Shohei Ohtani, but at least it's something different to look at.
No, but another thing, Bob, they got to try to sign Paul Skeens because if they don't, they're going to lose
if you're Paul Skeens,
they're going to be sorry.
Martin, if you're Paul Skeens, you're going to wait until to me, I don't think they're going to do anything but wait until free agency comes closer. Unless the Pirates do something completely out of character, which I would do. I would do something completely out of character and spend a lot of money now to try to get 5 to 6 more years, you know, 5 or 6 years out of him as opposed to what he's facing. So, but I wouldn't hold my breath there. Thanks, Martin, for the call. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Again, the big news of the day, just riding around, you haven't heard it. Troy Fautano is out indefinitely, according to both Adam Schefter, Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette. He is not going to play this week. They're going to further evaluate it, but Schefter used the term indefinitely, and that's not a good term when it comes to a starting tackle. And he was in line to play a lot tomorrow after he played last week, and I thought played very well. Broderick Jones is the guy who struggled. Now he's going to start. Broderick Jones wants to be a starter, so you're going to get your wish now. So that's the opportunity he could be looking for. He did it last year. I thought he acquitted himself pretty well for a rookie at a tackle position he wasn't used to. Now he is used to it. Dan Moore's on the left side. Let's see what happens tomorrow against a really good defense led by Mr. Bosa. Let's go to PC, who's in the stadium, I think. What's up, PC?
Good morning, Pomp. How you doing? You're right. Yep. I'm down here at Acuture Stadium now. I just had one of these security guys go by me. Look just like Altuve to Houston. Same size and everything. But anyway, Bob, this is a storm, the quiet before the storm, like last week. During the Pirate game, they coming over here. The only way I made it is my VA hospital beautiful scooter. And to do a double dip like that. And I want to know if you're going to, after you're done at 1 o'clock, coming over here and watch the game, or are you going to go with Richie and go on the golf course?
No, no golf course to me. I have too many things going on today. So we'll save that for another game. But it is a beautiful day. It is tempting.
I'm going to go down to the VA hospital next Friday to get these stem cells in my knee. Hopefully
whatever it takes to make yourself better. This is a great area because we have some of the best doctors in the business. So good luck with that, PC.
Thank you, Bob. And also, we definitely need them linemen. And now, Roderick Jones, and then you said everybody getting hurt. He's not going to play. Gary Dulac, he's the best. Him and Richie, they all give us all the updates.
And we'll have that tomorrow, 11:30 in the morning on our pregame show. So we'll be here at Acrisure Stadium. Thanks, PC.
Hey, Bob, you got the Youngstown State coming in there. Who's the two big boys that came out of there? Ron Jaworski, and don't forget Terry Bradshaw's back up.
There we go. Appreciate it, man. Take care of your knee at 412-928-9370. Rich in Forest Hills is up next. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
Wanted to make a comment about the Pirates, but just the general comment about Pittsburgh sports. All three of these teams are in a position now. They ideally have two of the three components you need to be a complete team, but they can still win. I mean, the Steelers pitching defense and not turning the ball over. The Penguins, if they can, you know, play a six-man defensive game and have a power play, they've got a puncher's chance. The same with Pirates. You know, Pirates really do, as much as there's sour taste in their mouth about the Pirates, Pittsburgh fans got to be happy with the potential for the starting rotation. But, you know, it's going to be – in Pittsburgh, it's going to be pitching and defense. And, you know, I'm willing to give Ben Cherington a little bit of leash because he's got just an idiot owner that's keeping him on a leash. So I don't know what it would be like if he could spend some money.
What if it doesn't? What if that doesn't change?
Well, it's not to be proven. I mean, it's an unprovable thing. But he has proven he cannot trade. So, I mean, trading assets. I hear all the time, we've got this wealth of pitching. Let's trade pitching to get – he loses every trade. So why would you want to encourage a trade? Look at the Dodgers. Look at Atlanta. I think Dodgers are 10 or 11 deep in terms of starters this year. So even if you did postulate that the Pirates are a championship or a wild card potential team, you got to imagine there's going to be injuries, you know. I think the only path that they have is to spend money. And that said, if they don't spend money this year, and I'm not somebody who grabs a pitchfork very often, now is absolutely the time for this town to boycott the Pirates. This owner is an idiot. This owner is an idiot. So much was given to him. When he made the purchase of this team, he has returned nothing. I hear I read this article in the paper today about how Jared Triolo, whatever his name is,
Triolo,
has had a great September. You know, the guys, I read a comment in the article The guy in 80 at-bats has had two home runs, two other extra base hits. He struck out 25 times, and this is all part of his super last
right.
month. Of
in other season. Words, the expectation bar is so low, that, and that's the problem with it right now. They have to change that, and the only way you can do it is be aggressive, especially when you have – this is the time – I keep saying it, but I believe it. This is the time for them to strike and do something completely out of character if you're going to support Skeens, Jones, and hopefully Bubba Chandler next year. And if they don't, then
I agree with
it's
that.
All
let
of the same.
Let me say this. Yeah, let me say this before you get to the next guy. I agree with that, but every time they feel like they have to make a splash, it's they get a Chris Archer or this trade deadline. They're going to make a splash. They trade this kid from Double-A that's pitching for Colorado. He's thrown 10 innings. He's got 10 strikeouts. No, hasn't allowed a run.
Right. And they got Jalen Beeks for him, and he's a free agent at 31 years old, and he's been terrible. I get you.
And not only is he terrible, he's gone at the end of the season. Even if he was good, he wasn't going to stick around.
Right. All right,
I mean,
Rich,
this management team
run.
Is just crazy.
They got to do this. Would be a very interesting offseason, and it better be an aggressive one for them. Thanks for the call. Before we go to break, let's go to Daytona Heights, and we have Brian on the line. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Would you say Daytona Heights?
That's what it says. Okay, it says Daytona Heights on my thing, which I didn't know existed. Now I know it doesn't.
Yeah, it's Natrona Heights.
That's all right, Mr. Callis. That happens. I thought my eyesight might have been going wrong, too, there, but it said that. So I figured there was such a place, just like I never knew there was a place called Slick. But there is.
Yeah, I wish I lived in Daytona, believe me.
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, listen, do you notice anything odd about last week's game in Denver?
Meaning what?
The Steelers were wearing their black
Yeah, that, Denver jersey. Forced them to do that. It was a 90-degree day, and that's one of those little psychological things that I don't think works, but they did it anyway.
You don't think it works? Because I was thinking the same thing. I cannot remember. I've been following the Steelers since the 70s. I don't think they've ever worn their white jerseys at home. And if there's ever a day that they should, would be tomorrow. It's supposed to be 86 degrees.
That's if you believe in that. I never have believed in that. I think if you're out white. It could be a white uniform, a green uniform, a black uniform. It doesn't matter. You're still going to be hot.
Well, they say that the darker uniform absorbs the heat more. But nevertheless, J.K. Dobbins has played the Steelers. He's been injured a lot, but he's played in three games against them. You know what he's done? 49
I know he's done
carries,
well. 6.6-some yards per carry.
Yard,
yeah.
An average of 6.6 yards a carry. That's the key. They can't stop him. And the other guys, Gus Edwards, he did good against them too, so... They can't stop the run, they're going to lose, even if Easton sticks the quarterback.
That's going to be the whole game, both sides, because you have Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt as your tackles, two really good guys, especially Alt. Thing about I like Alt, and this is going to be a test here, for the and it's going to be a test for T.J. Watt, quite frankly. It's the matchup I'm most looking forward to, because back in week one, Alt, as a rookie, took on Max Crosby, okay, and he had 11 times they went up against each other, and he had zero pressures against him. He couldn't get to the quarterback. So I think that's interesting, and I think Alt is going to be a guy who's going to be really good at what he does. We'll see. And he's going against the best in the game in T.J. Watt. That's something to circle one of your key matchups there for me.
And you know Harbaugh wants to run the ball. He's taken this Michigan theories to San or
right.
Los
Anywhere
Angeles,
he's so. Been, it's been the same thing, whether it's Stanford, San Francisco 49ers, Michigan, and he's doing it here too. So and that's what the Steelers want to do. So and this will be one of those war of attrition kind of things.
That's the one thing about the Steelers. They used to be a team that stopped the run. Remember, there was like 100 games in a row that a rusher didn't rush for over 100 yards against them. But, you know, in the recent 5-10 years, they've been terrible. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. If they can run the ball against the Steelers are going to lose.
All right. Good.
All right,
have
thanks,
a good day
Bob.
Over there in Natrona Heights. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Hey, text the code word DARE to 20357 now. For your chance to win two tickets to see Switchfoot at Roxy and Theater September 26th of this week. Details at 937thefan.com. Message and data rates do not apply. So you can do that. Also, coming up, we'll tell you about the weather, which you really don't need to know. It's going to be beautiful again. We're in some sort of a drought here, I think. We haven't had much rain at all this month. And normally that doesn't bother me, but, you know, you look at the grass, you look at these games being played in these temperatures, maybe a little reprieve here and there. Anyway, we'll be back with more calls all the way to 12:30. We're talking about this. I want to know what you think about Shohei Ohtani and that individual performance. If you had to kind of put a Pittsburgh performance, individual performance up against that one, give me one that would be similar in the same, you know, region of amazing. Ohtani, I don't think we'll ever see a performance like that again, with 6-for-6, 3 home runs, 10 runs batted in, 2 stolen bases, all in one game. What Pittsburgh individual put together a performance? I have two that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. I'd like to know what you think also. At 412-928-9370, this is the Bob Pompliani Show. We're live on Rooney Avenue outside of Acrisure Stadium, getting set for Pitt and Youngstown State on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're live outside Acrisure Stadium. It is rocking on Rooney Avenue today, where Pitt takes on Youngstown State. That's coming up at 3:30. I'll be joined by Doran Dickerson at 12:30 until 1:30 with Panther Preview, followed by the Network Pregame Show hosted by Larry Richard, Pat Bostic, and, of course, Bill Hillgrove up there in the booth doing all his great work. Cale Berger part of that. They got a lot of in-depth stuff going into this and what it means for Pitt to start 4-0. 412-928-9370. Big thank you to Number One Cochran. Go one better, ride in style with Number One Cochran for all your vehicle needs. And we've been talking about Shohei Ohtani a little bit here, and you know, just that performance. I don't think we'll ever see another performance like that. One that comes to mind for me in Pittsburgh is Mario Lemieux, and it happened on a night where it was, I believe, a New Year's Eve. All I remember was people were searching at the time without the benefit of, you know, Google or your phone, and Mario Lemieux scored 5 goals in a way that no one else has ever done. No one did it before. No one will ever do it again, I believe. That is an even strength goal, a power play goal, a shorthanded goal, a penalty shot goal, and an empty net goal, all in one game. And that was one for the ages. That's the only thing I could think of, really, that comes close to what Ohtani did. Although Ben Roethlisberger, 12 touchdowns in 2 games, 6 in each, that's pretty good. I'm sure there are others out there as well. So what's your take on Ohtani and anything Pittsburgh-related that could be in the same neighborhood of that accomplishment at 412-928-9370? Dave in Greensburg is up next right here on the Bob Pompliani Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Pom, thanks for taking the call. I'd say the closest thing for Pittsburgh in baseball would have been Ronnie Steinmetz, 7-for-7, back in the early 70s when he had a really good game.
22-0 over the Cubs.
That was a great game. I was a kid.
Yeah, but that 7-for-7 did not have the kind of meat that this Ohtani stuff has, you know, with 10 runs batted in. I mean, yeah, he was 7-for-7, but not at the same level.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. But that leads me to my next thing about Pirates of the future. Until Nutting decides to open up his checkbook, they're not going to get any down soon because they need hitting, and the hitting they're producing in the minors is not producing. So they need to go outside, and if Nutting wants a championship team, he needs to spend some money.
I think it's pure and simple, you know. And again, I'm one that would rather have them spend and then it turns out not being good than not spend at all. You know, they've tried these little $3 and $4 million 1-year deal, 2-year deals. That's not going to get it done. That fills space. That fills your lineup card. But in the end, it's really not good enough. You need significant players who have a history of being good hitters, bringing them into a lineup that can be, you know, that already has Cruz in it. And I think Reynolds is a plus, certainly. I don't know what to expect of Billy Cook and Nick York. They're too young for me to figure out, but those were trade acquisitions. They need a lot more than that because they're not I don't know what to expect from Key Brian Hayes. It's been too inconsistent to know that if he's going to be the kind of hitter he needs to be or not. First base is a yearly search, and who plays right field? Henry Davis is a problem. They need to get him figured out somehow, some way, because if not, boy, that's going to be a colossal failure at the number one overall pick.
I agree. They need 2 big contracts to bring in. If they don't do it, it's going to be a wash. I mean, they can always bring people in and trade them later if they're getting rid of the team and rebuilding. But
all right, Dave. Thanks. I'm sure you echo the sentiment of a lot of people. Let's find out what Jim in Oakmont has to say. He joins us right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Bob. Before I give you my comment, I was also thinking about the Tony Dorsett performance against Notre Dame.
303.
Not to the thing of Ohtani, but for Pittsburgh, pretty darn good. Bob, there's been so many Saturdays where you and I have conversed about the Pirates, usually me in a negative way. I don't think Nutting is an idiot. I think he's just a non-competitive blob of unemotional money-making.
No, he's anything but an idiot. He's a smart man. He would not have accumulated what he has if he wasn't. So I'd never believe that. What I do believe, though, is that this is a different kind of business. This, you know, Jim, is a business where you have to spend. Most people who get into this business already have a fortune. Now what they don't have is fame that comes with a fortune. They want to get that. They want to be a significant player. They want to say one of only 32 teams or whatever to own a team. So you know, you got to be willing to play that game, and you got to be willing to lose money too. You still make money every year, no matter where you finish. Lose a little.
That was my point of the call. You would think that any person, especially a billionaire, would at one point in their life say, you know what, I would really like to be competitive. I look at the Milwaukee, Kansas City, Cleveland markets are the same, close to Pittsburgh. Payroll's $25 to $35 million more. 120 is not an unreasonable figure, and if you do it right, which I don't think Charrington's the guy, you can be competitive pretty darn quickly because you do have a couple of really good prospects and you have great pitching.
No question about that. And he saw a little bit of what that was like in 2013, 14, and 15 to the point where he was showing up and he went one button down even more to show off that chest hair. So he's been there. He's seen that. What it takes to maintain that is the issue. Are you willing to play the game? Thanks, Jim, for the call. I appreciate it. I'm up against the break. But before we go, let's go Tom and Bethel Park real quick. And then Brad, hang on, and Melvin, hang on. We'll get to you at the other side. But Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
You know, Starkey spent a lot of time on the Ohtani thing, too, on Friday, and he had one of his better shows, too, on Friday.
You mean talking about?
I want to talk about the Steelers' defense.
Okay.
We have been beating the horse, beating the pony. He's been beating the pony about Broderick Jones. Now Jones is in. Solid. We'll see what. But this defense, I'm looking for them to come up against a top-notch quarterback, big running backs, because they haven't even started to put points on the board yet. We depended upon that defense for points in the past, and I believe that they're going to come through again this year in a bigger way.
Well, I mean, if they're healthy, they can do that. They have players at just about every position who I think are either a little above average. So if you know, and give them a break, if you possess the ball a little and make sure they're not on the field for 40 minutes a game, you can do some good things. And then injuries take happen.
Absolutely.
They always do.
Joey Porter, what a surprise. That JPJ, what a surprise.
I don't think he's much of a surprise to him or his family. I think people knew what he could be. I think Dante Jackson has been quite a surprise, only because Carolina was looking to get rid of him, which tells you all you need to know about Carolina and their judgment of players because they're struggling right now as well. Thanks for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. Up against the break, want to remind you, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500s. You got 1.9% financing up to 36 months with pre-approved credit through GMC Financial, Chevy.com. Today, clouds a little bit, mostly sunny. There's a chance later in the day of a thunderstorm, although the way it's been going, we probably won't get it. It's going to be warm. Storms can be localized at certain times. High of 87 degrees today, and tonight, it's going to be clear, partly cloudy. We have a low of only 61 degrees. Tomorrow, more of the same sunshine for Steelers Sunday against the Chargers. And we have a lot to get in and so little time, but we want you to call 412-928-9370. This is our program until 12:30. We're talking all things Pittsburgh sports. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township, southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Our show brought to you by the good people of number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And join us for the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown. That's coming up tomorrow night at 11:35 or after the late news, whichever comes first. Because we have a lot of football going on tomorrow, including the big game. And we got Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson in town, and we haven't seen them in a while, but this is a big game. It's 2-0 Chargers, 2-0 Steelers. As you heard, Troy Faltano injured his knee again yesterday. He's out indefinitely, according to Adam Schefter. They're going to do some more tests on this, but he definitely will not play tomorrow. That means Broderick Jones will be the start at right tackle. Faltano hopefully will not be out long. We'll find out more about that as we go. 412-928-9370. We have the big Shohei Ohtani show this week. We're 10 RBIs, 3 home runs. He's a 50-50 club member. Last night, O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates became a 2020 club member. And congrats to the Pitt volleyball team for another 3-set win. They haven't lost at all. It's one thing to lose a match. They haven't lost a set. They're 8-0, beating East Carolina last night. Back to the lines we go. Brad and Punxsutawney. What's up, Brad? How are you?
Hey, Bob. Just pulling into Acrisure right now. But
there
I
you go.
Quit laughing. Because I jotted three things down when you asked potential things.
Yeah, Pittsburgh
to the
events
thing.
That rival Ohtani.
So I marked, my first one was Lemieux, my second one was Tony Dorsett, and my third one was, of course, Rennie Stennett, and they're all used. So I'm pulling a rabbit out of my hat because I'm doing this quick. And I'm going to say that Abanacanda's 320 yards a few years ago is probably my closest that I can come up with on the spur of the moment.
Well, that makes sense because we're talking Pitt football today, so you may as well throw Izzy in there, Izzy Abanacanda. But, you know, again, the Lemieux one's the only one I can think of that really comes to the same level of astonishment and amazement. I think Roethlisberger was six touchdown passes back-to-back games. That's something also you will not see anytime soon, so consider that on the list.
You know, that I remember that game from Lemieux, and the funny thing is the guy did so many things, it's just unreal. I mean, go in on breakaways, he'd deke a goalie, goalie'd get down, he'd wrap it around and score into an empty net on the other side. He just was, to me, the greatest hockey player to ever play.
If he wasn't, you know, involved with back injuries, surgeries, if he didn't have the cancer situation, he essentially missed 4.5, 5 years of his career. And I think if he had been healthy during that time, you would have seen him right up there all alone, second behind Gretzky in total points. Gretzky's output was ridiculous, but Lemieux was, I think, a better player than Wayne Gretzky. He was a better player. They're both outstanding. Gretzky was a point accumulator and a wonderful feeder of the pass. Lemieux could do that too, but he can also score with the best of them, and his reach was incredible. They played him shorthanded. I'd like to see more Crosby shorthanded. I still would. I realize they have people to do that, but Sidney Crosby would pose a big threat if he were in that boat, but Lemieux was terrific at it because of his long reach. I still think one of my favorite plays was in Le Colisée against the Quebec Nordique when he went in, and I guess it was Marc Fournier who was trying to trail him. He was hacking and whacking, and he just fended him off and made a beautiful move to beat the goalie. As one of the best goals I've ever seen Mario score, and that takes into account some really good ones. My favorite thing about Lemieux was how Ron Hextall got so frustrated with him that he started chasing him down after he had like 7 points in a playoff game. But all great memories. That's what sports is all about, making good memories. And hopefully we'll see some this year in a multitude of ways. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. All right, 412-928-9370. Thank you, Brad, who's just pulling into the stadium here. So it's going to be Pitt and Youngstown State. We'll get into that more after Pitt's amazing win last week, coming back from really almost insurmountable odds twice in a row to do it. Some people are worried about a little bit of a hangover or a letdown given the fact this is Youngstown State. I think they're going to have to remind themselves that this is a team that still has pushed them to the edge a couple of times, and they're good at what they do. And Pitt would love to continue this. And, they could use the historic part of this as motivation as well, that no Pitt team has ever gone 4-0 in non-conference scheduling. So that's that there as they head into the ACC. Starting in 2 weeks, North Carolina lost its quarterback, so that could be an advantage for Pitt. Well, who knows about this ACC? Clemson doesn't appear to be as good as I thought maybe they would be. Florida State has been terrible. The only team ranked 10th in the preseason to lose their first three games, but that's what Florida State has done. So it's attainable here for somebody, and could Pitt be that team? Eli Holstein certainly has shown the awareness, the poise in late-game situations to come back and make plays, and that's a wonderful pickup for Pitt, and hopefully he stays around here for a long time to come. 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. We'll take a break here right now. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Steelers and Chargers, the injury to Troy Fautanu, and what it means for the Steelers to go 3-0. What significance is there to a 3-0 start? We'll talk about that and more as we continue. It's the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And a big thank you to number one Cochrane Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shenderovich and Fishman. Text the code word DARE to 20357 now for your chance to win two tickets to see Switchfoot at Roxian Theater on September the 26th. That's this week. Details 937thefan.com. Message and data rates may apply. 412-928-9370. Daryl in Houston is on the line right now. Thank you for joining us, Daryl. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, you said something on the nightly show this past Sunday that Pitt should be 1-2. And I was trying to ask myself, why was that? What was your thought process?
My thought process was they've put themselves in a situation where they were down and looked like left for dead. And my thought process also indicated that both Cincinnati and West Virginia played into their hands. They made some plays, sure. I have to give them a lot of credit. But I'm saying, realistically, if you ask yourself with 3 minutes left in the third quarter against Cincinnati or with 4 minutes left in the game last week, Is Pitt going to win this game? Your answer would be no. So that's what I was talking about.
Well, no, I can say that in the third quarter, but it's a 60-minute game. And it's not like there was some fluke play like the tough rule or the holy roller or the immaculate reception. Pitt made plays. They made stops.
They made plays.
It's a 60-minute game. Just because you're down, you know, in the third quarter doesn't mean that you shut it down. I said they showed some resiliency.
I thought Cincinnati shut it down to a degree, and I think that helped Pitt. Made plays, and I'm not going to take that away, but that was my thought. When someone asked that question, my thought was, based on what we saw, especially after three quarters or into the fourth quarter of each of these last two games, if you look at the win rate, it was very, very low. And I just, those were games that I think West Virginia, if they had to do it over, would do some things differently. And I certainly believe Cincinnati. Now, again, I don't want to take anything away from what they did. And you're right, they made plays. But you can't give up second and 30. And they did. It was a great throw catch, but you've got to be able to defend that play.
You can't, but there's a mistake that Pitt made that, you know, the first drive, I think they threw an interception in the end zone, a play that never was open at all. So, I mean, things happen in the course of the games, but that's why you play 60 minutes. If you don't play 60 minutes, there's an opportunity that you can blow leads. I mean, Pitt's not the first team that's ever come back from double digits in the fourth quarter. I mean, they just have the resiliency to make those plays. Now, you're right. Cincinnati might have shut it down. West Virginia didn't make the stops. But that's not on Pitt. That's on them.
But here's a stat for you to go against what you just said. From the years 2005 to 2018, Pitt, when facing double-digit deficits into the fourth quarter, were 0-7. When they were in that position, they did not win a game, okay, in that 13-year span. This year, facing those same deficits, they're 2-0. That's my point. You don't expect it to happen because it never did happen.
Point well made, but here's a variable that you need to put into that equation. They never had an offensive coordinator that they have now. They went away from that prehistoric three yards in a cloud of dust to something that's modernized, that's new, that's about the times that they're in. That's the variable we need to talk about, because the last 13 years that you mentioned, they had offensive coordinators, with the exception of a couple years with Canada, and they put up big numbers, and maybe 1 year with Whipple. All these other guys have been like, that's why they was 3-3 and whatever last year. So I would take that into consideration and say, I agree with you, Bob. History says that that's the case, but this is a new regime and a new era of Pitt football offensively.
Well, I would agree with you, Daryl, in that I think Cade Bell has brought a unique and a different perspective to this offense, and I think the more confidence they get in coming back, and it certainly will help them in deficits when they face in the ACC, and I bet you they do at some point, it will certainly help them. So they made plays. They know they can make plays, and more importantly, Eli Holstein is the trigger man there. I think the guy has got a lot of moxie, you know. He does for being a freshman.
I do as well. All right, Bob.
All right. Thank you.
Nice
appreciate
show.
It. All right. You have a good day at 412-928-9370. Again, it's a big one today. For those of you driving in, you may have missed Troy Fautanu is out. Doran, stick on those headsets for a second. I'm going to ask you guys what that means to son. I'm sorry. I stunned everybody by saying this. You're on your phone and you're relaxing. But I have just a couple of minutes. What does this mean, in your opinion, to get a guy who was going to be their starting right tackle? He played well last week. They were trying to rotate. Broderick Jones had all sorts of problems, was benched, and now he gets his chance. Is this a redemption that Jones wants and needs, and do you think he'll make the most of it? Or is this one of those kind of injuries that could really make a negative effect on this offense?
Well, it's an injury that could be a lingering injury for Fautanu throughout his rookie season, and you want to get as many reps as possible, and he did pretty well whenever Broderick did go out and they, you know, stopped doing the rotation last week. I think he had 29 pressures. He gave up 0 sacks, so he did do well, and so you're trying to find a foundation if you're Fautanu, and then you get a little setback right here. But this is exactly why that Mike Tomlin said he's going to give Broderick an opportunity to respond and practice this past week, because of, you know, he's the swing tackle. When things happen in the NFL, you see injuries all the time. I'm sure that Broderick didn't think he was probably going to get his opportunity as quick as tomorrow.
Especially Friday of game week.
Right, Friday of game week. So it was important, I think, that Mike Tomlin said that to keep his mindset, at a high level, because they were going to need him at some point this season. Just didn't know if they were going to need him, now, which they do. So, Broderick, this is your opportunity. I mean, you're a first-round pick, a team. The Pittsburgh Steelers traded up to get you. You have high pedigree. just go out there and play some football. You know, played well at right tackle last year whenever he got his opportunity. So, you know, go take the spot over for the time being and be the guy that, you know, we all think that you could be. So I think it's a little setback for Faltano, obviously, but it's a huge opportunity for Broderick Jones to respond from last week.
No question about that, and you can see the game tomorrow coming up at 1 o'clock on KDK. Our coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. with the BetMGM Steelers kickoff show, and then after the game, Chris Hoke and I will break it all down. We have 2 hours of postgame on KDKA following that game. It'll be the Extra Point Show brought to you by Ford, and then it's the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call Show. We got a big day planned for you. So keep it on KDK. Chargers doing exactly the same stuff the Steelers are doing. Running the ball, playing good defense, no mistakes. They're 2-0. The Steelers are 2-0, which brings Jim Nantz and the A-team into town. Tony Romo and Tracy Wilson on the call tomorrow here at Acrisure Stadium. So that'll wrap up for my show. We got a lot going on tonight in Pittsburgh as well. Penguins open it up in Buffalo preseason. It will be interesting to see how some of these guys and how this roster takes shape over the next couple of weeks. They need to get off to a good start. As I said, Pitt Volleyball, again, winners last night. 3 straight sets. They're 24-0 when it comes to sets this year. 8-0 overall. They've won every set they've played. And no letdown following that Penn State win the other night. So that's a very mature team. Even though they're young, they have a lot of experience. Look for them to cash in and maybe go all the distance. And that would be awesome to see because they deserve it based on how they've been playing and what they've built here at the University of Pittsburgh. But coming up next, we have our Pitt preview. Youngstown State in town. Pitt trying to go 4-0 to start this season before they head into ACC play. Doran Dickerson will join me, as he just did. We'll take you up until 1:30 when the network pregame show takes over with Larry Richard, Pat Bostic, Bill Hillgrove, Cale Berger, and a cast of thousands. But right now I'm going to tell you about fan weather. And, you know, it depends on what you're looking at here because according to our little apps, we're supposed to rain here, but it hasn't rained. So we'll see how this goes, but Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado, $1,500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months, and you must have approved credit through GM Financial. Today, we have some clouds. We also have a lot of sun and humidity. It's going to be 87 degrees for the high right here at Acrisure Stadium tonight. Clear. It should be a low of 61, which is not necessarily September weather, but I guess we'll take it. As you get closer to the fall and winter seasons, you may want to look back and treasure these days. But tomorrow, more of the same for the Steelers and the Chargers, highs in the 80s. And that's going to do it.